three or four. Simple question. It might not make a lot of sense at the moment, but it will be relevant later on. Can you remember, can you tell somebody of a particularly enjoyable journey that you've ever done, or a favourite journey that you like doing? Okay, go on, and let's spend just a few minutes doing that. So tell somebody near you of a particularly enjoyable journey that you've done, or a favourite journey that you have. Go on, just a couple of minutes on that. And feel free to move next to somebody to, you know, to join in with others. And I will have another question after this as well. There's another question shortly. Okay, I think that's long enough. You've gone a bit quieter now, so maybe you've stopped. Most of you stopped sharing. Anybody want to tell us a favourite journey? What did I say? A particularly enjoyable journey that you've done, or a favourite? Anybody want to tell us anything?
The first journey we did with
SatNav. The first journey that they did with SatNav. Now I was going to. In my notes originally, it was a particularly memorable journey.
We ended up friends still at our destination when we got there.
You ended up friends even when you got to the destination, right? Well, okay, because I changed memorable to enjoyable, you see, in my question, because I thought I can think of lots of memorable ones. That any other you want to particularly You went to see the Taj Mahal, right, and that was a particularly enjoyable journey. Okay, right, very good. I've got particularly enjoyable journeys I can remember as well, yeah, and of course, I don't want to bore you with them, but yes, I mean, running across the fells in the Lake District a few years back, fantastic. Now, can you think of a time when you've been nearing the end of a journey and approaching your destination? Can you think of any particularly memorable end of journeys? When the journey is coming to end, anything sticks in your mind? Go on, another minute or two on that. Anything, any particular end of journey
that you remember as you get into the destination? Anything that sticks in your memory? Just another moment then on that, a particular end of journey. Okay. Tamsin wants to know what the question was again. Too late. Okay, time's moving on. Anybody want to tell us any particular, was the particular one you were thinking, was it?
Arriving in the Alps.
I was going to tell them about that one. Yeah, I thought you might have thought of that. It's seared in our memory. Any particular end of journey anybody want to tell us about that you remember? Any particular one? I'll tell you about ours. We as a family, when our children were younger, were going with another family down to Mirabel, which is in the Alps. It's a skiing resort, but we were going in the summertime. And the other family, the chap, his friend, was it Harry? Yeah, his friend Harry said it was just an eight-hour drive. Now, Harry says it's only an eight-hour drive. That phrase was mentioned more than once. All I can say is when we eventually arrived, the drive had been 22 hours, non-stop, 22 hours. And when we were driving up the mountain, because after a while we think, whoa, we must be in the Alps now because we're going up. And after half an hour, we think, we're still going up. And after an hour, thinking, it's still up. And then eventually lights came. And the relief when we saw lights as we're going through into what seems to be a town, and the despair when we realized the road goes out the other side and continues up. Anyway, eventually we got to the destination. We couldn't believe it. We were absolutely exhausted. And all of us looked at the beds, lay on the beds, and went to sleep with our clothes on. And we woke up in the morning, seemingly blinded by a searchlight in our eyes. What on earth is going on? And we got up and realized it was the sunlight coming in the window. And we got to the window and looked out, all of us, shouting, come, look, look, look. And we had a balcony, and we realized that right next to our chalet, the ski lift went down to everybody else. We were on the top of a mountain. And I'll never, ever forget that. But when we finally approached the end, the relief. By the way, I'm preaching on prayer. This is all about prayer, you know. And we'll get onto that now. Right, so I'm going to preach on prayer this morning. Quite short it'll be today. And I didn't want to conflict or distract from anything that Paul has been preaching about. So I thought I'd want to do something that complements what he's preaching at the moment. Fantastic series on prayer. I thoroughly enjoy his preaching. Now, just to let you now know that I did know Paul before, but the elders will tell you I had no say in the selection at all. I wasn't involved in that. But while he's not here, I can talk about him. I think he's a really good fit. I think he fits this fellowship really well, and really glad that, we've got him here. I'm going to read from Psalm 98. Psalm 98, and I've got some quite simple thoughts to share with you after that. And I don't think there'll be anything new. Perhaps it's just that we need to be reminded of it again. Psalm 98, this is sort of like it's a call to prayer. But it's sort of like, it's saying, as it were, that the Creator God is embracing the whole of the human race, the whole of creation, and drawing it all to Him. That's what it's about. Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm has worked salvation for Him. The Lord has made His salvation known and revealed His righteousness to the nations. He has remembered His love and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. See what I mean? It's sort of a call for the whole of creation to celebrate God, to sort of draw near to Him. It's the idea that God is wanting to embrace everything, the sea, the earth, people, in relationship with Him. So, okay, I'm preaching this morning, and I don't do it as regularly now. And I've also discovered I pray less now than I have ever done, probably for decades, the last 4 decades. Obviously, when I was a church pastor, I was paid to take time out to study Scripture and to pray. As a believer, obviously, I would have prayed. Whereas now, I have other things, another job, time restrictions. Perhaps I'm normal like you lot. And I pray less than I've ever done before. Although, in one sense, we are all constantly, aren't we, conscious of God and you know, we pray without ceasing in that sense. Yes, I've said I thoroughly enjoyed Paul's preaching, and I'm sure he has been talking about praying and seeking God's will, praying the kingdom in. He will talk about other things, I know. But I want us to think about prayer that is not asking for anything, prayer that is not seeking anything. I asked you about a memorable or a favorite, shall I say, journey. Because you see, sometimes a journey is not about the destination, it's just about doing the journey. That's why people go on cruises. It's just they enjoy the journey. I said a favorite journey of mine was running over the fells in the Lake District. There was no destination. The journey was the point. There was no destination in mind. I was thinking about prayer recently, being not asking, not seeking, just doing it, like a journey without destination, like a journey without any goal, just simply prayer as a journey, as something that we do. In the New Testament, you've got the incident where the disciples are watching Jesus pray. They're watching Him pray, and then when He finishes, they say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And He actually does give them some instruction on how to pray then. But apart from that, in Scripture, there is very little teaching on how to pray. There's just lots of examples of people praying, examples of prayer, but very little explanation of how to do it. And yet, prayer is one of the key distinctives that we as followers of Jesus have. There are other faiths that will have a belief in the power of repetition. And you've got the Buddhists who have this idea that they can write a prayer on something that the wind will turn, and it's as though every time the wind turns, it's like another prayer that goes to their whatever, and they get merit from it. But we uniquely speak about relationship with the Creator God, and prayer being part of that. And we might have opportunities to share our faith with people. We might have opportunities to speak to Jesus, and speak of Jesus to other people. And others of other faiths can have opportunities to talk about their faith. But the one thing that we can do that's unique is to offer to pray for them. Prayer is the key distinctive, I think, of followers of Jesus. But then we think, what am I going to pray about? And Paul has been mentioning some of that, and he will mention more. But what about the prayer that doesn't involve asking for anything? It doesn't seek anything. It has no goal, seemingly. It's just chatting. Simple as that. What about that sort of prayer? Now, Penny and I recently celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary, and we decided... Thank you very much. They're clapping me. Isn't that good?
No, they're clapping.
Oh, they're clapping you. Oh, all right then. we could drag that out, but let's not do that. So we're not much for parties. What are we going to do? Cool, we had some discussions. What are we going to do to celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary? So eventually, we came to a decision, and we went for 1 week to Coniston in the Lake District, mooching about, walking in the hills. That was the plan. The plan wasn't the destination, it was just doing that. Walking in the hills, mooching about, spending time together. That's really what we wanted to do. We still enjoy spending time together. Thank God, after 40 years, we still enjoy spending time together. Now, when we planned to be together, we did talk about what activities we might like to do. We visited Ruskin's house. We had a trip on the boat on the lake, this sort of thing, you know. But at no time did we plan or discuss what we might talk about together. You know, where shall we go? What time will we arrive? Where are we going to stay? We never said, and what will we talk about? Of course we didn't. We just chatted. That's what we do, isn't it, as human beings in relationship. We just chat. And I've been thinking about prayer, or a type of prayer, that is simply that. Chatting, talking, sharing our lives with our Creator God. Not asking for anything, there are times for that, yes. Not seeking anything, just simply enjoying being in the presence of God. It's not a phrase I use, but people talk about rabbiting on, don't they? It's not a phrase I use, but meaning just chatter, chatter, chatter. And sometimes, perhaps a little bit thoughtlessly, just chatter, chatter. I think there's a place for that in prayer. The idea that we just offload our thoughts, as it were, pour out our heart, and involve God in experiences. Have you ever said, Lord, look at that view? Wonderful view. Lord, look at that view. This is fantastic. Have you ever said, you know, I'm enjoying this. Thank you that you're with me in this. And the idea that you're just talking, you're sharing the experience. Also, there's a type of prayer where sitting in silence, again, not asking for anything, not seeking anything, but just knowing that you are there silently in the presence of God, because you have made that sort of mental turn, shift in your thinking, and you're realizing again, reminding yourself again, I am in the presence of my Creator God.
I am enjoying the presence of Jesus in my life, the Spirit of God flowing through me, and I sit and I almost sigh and say, this is so good. I mentioned a while ago, a few years back, I don't know if anybody remembers, but I'd been reading some scripture, and the two scriptures are these. Ephesians 3:12, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. And then also Romans 5:2, it says, through him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And I'm not an expert in New Testament Greek at all. You know, I read the textbooks and stuff like that, or did. But the guys that are experts in New Testament Greek and in the context and all this sort of thing, they tell us that to approach in these prayer situations, that to approach, the word used is a nautical word. This old Greek word is the sort of word that would be used by somebody in a ship approaching a harbor. It's to approach, what have I got here? It's a seafaring word. To approach means to approach in a nautical sense, like a ship having entered a harbor goes on to approach the landing stage. Now a harbor, okay, you may know this well enough, but let me just say it. A harbor is something where the water is protected from the waves outside. A harbor can be a natural inlet of water, or it can be created by human effort as they've built up a pier or harbor walls. So a harbor, first of all, is out of the storm, out of what we call the choppy waters. I'm from the seaside, so we would talk about choppy waters. That's when it's up and down sort of thing. And you come out of the choppy waters into the calm of the harbor. But the journey is not ending yet. The journey ends when you approach the landing stage, and there you are, and there's a sense of a sigh, relief, I'm there. And when that word is used, speaking about prayer and approaching God with confidence, approaching, it's saying that when we come in prayer, we come into harbor. And whatever choppy waters you may feel that your life is going through, you come into a peacefulness as you come into prayer. And there's even a sense of resting at the landing stage as that peace descends, as we simply enjoy being in his presence. Without asking anything, without seeking anything, it might be chatting, it might be sitting in silence. I wonder how often, think of it, I wonder how often you have entered this safe harbor. How often have you experienced that? I suspect that some new Christians end up experiencing it almost accidentally as they pray and they discover prayer, and then almost accidentally they realize that there's a peace to be found in prayer. And then as we go on a little bit longer, we realize that we can make a decision, set aside time, and we can enter into this harbor, this peaceful place in prayer. I'm suggesting, and I'm looking at the clock, as I said, I told the Sunday school teachers I'd be finished about 5 past. Look at that now. I think I'm going to do it. I suggest this week, why not make it a goal to experience this sort of prayer? No matter how often you might have done it before, is this a prophetic word for us right now? Are there people in this fellowship right now for whom God is saying to you this week, come into the harbor, approach a place of peacefulness in this sort of prayer, which is not actually asking for rescue, not asking that the waters might be stilled or asking for guidance, but simply seeking to be in his presence, sigh with relief, like the end of a journey, know his stillness, know his life within you. J. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Christians often quote that to say, look, Jesus is the only way. Yes, but he is the way. You and I, we all can come into the presence because of Jesus. Three types of prayer that you could try this week. I say try, you might have done it regularly before, but maybe this is a week that the Spirit of God is inviting you. Three different types. One is just chatting and sharing your experiences in prayer. Rabbiting on. That's one way. Another one is the one word prayers. The one word prayers might be, and I was doing it the other day. I was running and I was wanting to be in the presence of God, and I found myself just repeating, hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus, my Lord, my God, my Lord, my God. And as I was repeating these things, it was keeping my mind focused on Jesus, but I wasn't asking anything or seeking anything. I was enjoying the presence of God. And the third one, more difficult perhaps, takes more practice, is silent prayer. Having turned, having perhaps used those one-word prayers, then still in silence and experiencing the sense of God's nearness. I'm done. I'm finished. Shall we have a song?